today is Pentecost Sunday. And so what Pentecost Sunday represents is the 50 days, the penta, that word 50, 50 days after Easter. And so in the Christian church, it's just a simple holiday, a holy day, if you will, called Pentecost Sunday. And I thought I'd share with you this morning a couple of things that the Lord laid on my heart about Pentecost and what it really is. So we're going to be finding ourselves in Acts chapter 2. You may be familiar with this passage. Acts chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 1 through 13. So it'll be up on the screen, or else you can grab your Bible or your cell phone or your device, and we can go from there. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided as tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome," verse 11, "both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, "we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." Verse 12, "and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others, mocking, said, 'They're all filled with new wine.'" And so as we take this moment, this God moment, where Jesus had died and he was crucified, buried, and then resurrected, he promised another person to help, another helper as he leaves the earth. And that person is the person of the Holy Spirit. And this is the instance in where we see that manifestation. It's a weird word, I know. Manifestation of God. If you will, like a second Emmanuel. Does that make sense to you? The word Emmanuel, God with us. It's almost like that they call it the third part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit had rested upon the church. And as we think about what took place, as they call it, like tongues of fire rested upon them. And they were speaking in other tongues, in other languages. And people around them were just saying, "Wow, how is it that we're understanding in our own language?" And I thought this was such an amazing, amazing time where they were thinking, well, they're just drunk. No, they're just drunk. They've got some good stuff. I mean, they went into the back top shelf, right, and got the good stuff. And they're just like, yeah, they're just hammered. No, this is what's going on. No, but the Holy Spirit came down afresh. And as they were experiencing just this infilling, this is the day of Pentecost. And so as we celebrate this giving of the Holy Spirit, and in fact, I like to call it a holiday. It is a holiday. It should be a holy day for us as Christians to celebrate, just like Easter, just like Christmas, the coming of Jesus. But it's one of those we kind of forget. Oh yeah, Holy Spirit, that one. That's the one where the Holy Spirit is, yeah, they're not really sure about the Holy Spirit. Jesus, oh yeah, we celebrate Jesus. God the Father, absolutely. The third part of the Trinity is kind of put in a weird little box sometimes with Christians. And there's sometimes that we just kind of, we're not sure, we're maybe scared or nervous about the power of the Holy Spirit, because it makes us feel uncomfortable. The power of the Holy Spirit, because just like the disciples and the apostles, it came down upon them and they almost couldn't control their tongue. We as good Wesleyans, right? Historically, if you've been a Wesleyan for a long time, and a good Baptist and others, right? Speaking in tongues is kind of looked down upon. That whole idea of having a prayer language, or, you know, kind of that's looked as like, oh my goodness, no, we don't want any of that. I mean, what about the gifts of prophecy? What about God's Holy Spirit coming into someone and then someone just sharing a word from God? Gift of prophecy. The deciphering and discerning, understanding that this is what I feel God is sharing with you today. We kind of go, oh, that's a little weird. That's a little bit too weird. I'll find God for myself. That's okay. You know, so see, we've shunned away from those gifts of the Holy Spirit because we don't understand at times. And they're scary. They're different. But I want to encourage you today that let's not shun the Holy Spirit in those ways, but we want to welcome. See, we may not understand. We may not understand those gifts, or we may not understand fully the Holy Spirit. I was talking with Jude this morning about the difference between salvation and Jesus Christ, having that the salvation that comes through Christ as the first work of grace, right? That first, very first work of grace where you and I, when we knelt by a bedside, maybe with our parents or mom or dad or grandparents, or was in a service just like this where the preacher would say, raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus into your life. That first work of grace. The Bible talks about not just having the baptism of John, that baptism of Jesus and understanding their full salvation, but there's the second work of grace, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Some of our Pentecostal brothers and sisters call that the baptism of the Spirit. Us good Wesleyans, we call it entire sanctification. Right? It's that filling of the Holy Spirit. And I'll just tell you, in my life, I remember there were two specific times, periods in my life that were separate from one another. The day, that period of time, I call it, when I was saved, I was around 12 years old. It was at camp. And I didn't know what it was to have a relationship with Jesus. My parents went to a Lutheran church, and we were the CNEs, you know, Christmas and Easter Lutherans. And I never knew what it was to understand what Jesus or who Jesus was. So I went to a camp around 11 or 12 years old, and I remember hearing Jesus for the first time. I remember understanding what I needed as a horrible, crooked person with sin in my life. And that's where I accepted Jesus. That's when I accepted, and I wanted to say, I repent of my sin. I repent of my sin. But it wasn't until years later in my life, that I really feel that I was completely inspired and infilled yet again with the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't until maybe my sophomore to junior year in college. It took that long for me to kind of understand what that first work of grace, continual repentance and working, God working in my life. And did I have the Holy Spirit? Yes, the Holy Spirit enters at salvation. But it wasn't until I allowed the baptism. You remember your baptism? When we're immersed into the water, it was the baptism of the Spirit that immersed my soul. And so it was that second moment, that second work of grace in my life, when the infilling of the Spirit came in my life, and that's when I started seeing and understanding and filling, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Later on in Acts chapter 2, later on as we read in verse 37 through 38, it goes on, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men, brethren, what shall we do? This is those people who were watching what was going on. They're like, what should we do about this? What's going on? Verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the first thing, one of the first principles or points that we can see when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, it allows us to see our sin. It allows us to start asking the questions. When the Holy Spirit comes in, it allows us to see that, man, we are we got a lot of work to do. Holy Spirit comes in and says, yeah, you shouldn't be watching that. That's not really good. Holy Spirit comes in and says, yeah, you should be talking like that. That's not the way Christ would talk. When the Holy Spirit comes in, your life, your lifestyle, the people you hang out with, the things you watch, the things you listen to, they all become different because the Holy Spirit comes inside. And so Peter said to them, repent. That's number one. Repent. Repent. You see, this is different than remorse. Like remorse is getting caught for something you did and you're like, ah, nuts, I got caught. Right? Remorse is like, I don't know what this feels like, but to get a speeding ticket? I've never got a speeding ticket. But when you get caught by the cops, you feel remorse. It doesn't mean you're going to repent. You're still going to speed. Some of you. That's the difference between remorse and repent. You're like, oh man, I got to pay this $100 to the county or whatever, the state. That's remorseful. Repentance is saying, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to stop speeding. So Peter says, repent. He says, be baptized. That's that outward symbol of an inward change. Being baptized and showing the world, showing everybody that, listen, I am changed. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he cleanses you. And then we're filled. It's a promise from the Lord as we accept that salvation after repentance. And so we're filled with the Spirit. So I could go on and give you examples of even John Wesley himself. I remember reading it in college about how he felt his heart strangely warmed. John Wesley himself is an old church father. He was an Anglican priest for a long time. He knew the Bible. He knew Jesus. He knew the baptism of repentance. He understood it. But it wasn't until later on where he finds himself in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He says, I feel my heart strangely warmed. And he finally devoted his life completely and 100% to God. And so when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's an evidence of change. There's evidence of change. And so I believe that as Christians, and I'm getting a little bit deep in the woods here, and I don't want to get too deep. But as Christians, we have this idea of we have Jesus in our lives. Jesus has saved us, and yes, he has, from sin, from the past, from the present and future. Our sin is covered. There's nothing else that we need to do. But I feel like there's sometimes we just wallow in that, of that sense of sin. Ask forgiveness. And that's the lives we live. And I'm going to tell you here today, Christian, that we can live victorious lives being saved through the blood of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe it? I mean, do you believe it? Or are you still wrestling? Are you still wrestling with this constant sin, asking forgiveness? And I was telling somebody even today, think about it. You can be relieved of your sin in the power of the Holy Spirit. You got to be, no way. There's no way I will be relieved of my willful sin. That's the willful disobedience of a known law of God. I'll tell you what, right now, I used to have a dirty mouth. I used to cuss like no other in the high school locker room. I never thought, ever thought when I was that age that I could get rid of that sin. Never thought I could. I was just like, every other thing was like, I wanted to cuss or because I was surrounded in it, right? You guys get it? You all went to high school? And I remember saying to myself, I was probably 17, and I was working on like wrestling with my salvation and who Jesus was. And I remember, I'm like, there's no way, God. There's no way. I cuss too much. I swear all the time. It's part of my life, right? It's part of my lifestyle. It's my habit. I'm here to tell you today that I don't cuss. And you're like, oh, good. I hope not. You're the pastor. Can I just be an example to you today to say that I'm sinless because of the power of the Holy Spirit in that area? Boom, there it is. Mic drop. If I say I'm sinless in that area, it's a evident of change in my life because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if he can take cussing away from me, he can take the sin away from you. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Why not? I can go on and on and on, and I'm not going to sit there and bear my whole everything, all my sins to you this morning, but if we're baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, he comes in and cleanses. And church, I'm telling you here today that it is confident within us. It is confident within us that we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, yet empowered with the Holy Spirit for victory. And so a couple of things, I know we got to kind of wrap up a little bit, but a couple of things I wanted to share as some points, because I know people love points. You got to love your points. Number one, the Holy Spirit accomplishes three things on Pentecost. And number one, the personal witness. This personal witness, the understanding that Holy Spirit is personal to me. I mean, they were together. They were speaking in unknown tongues and then known tongues of different languages. The Holy Spirit came down and people were changed. And it's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. I can't give you the Holy Spirit today. I can't impart it on you. You have to ask and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It's number two, it's this personal, but then there's this connection. You know, again, there wasn't this priestly person in the room, that there was a mediator. The Holy Spirit came upon each and every one of them. The presence of the Almighty was dwelling with them. And then there was personal power. You know, the personal power of the Holy Spirit, what do I mean by this? It can be like two ways. It can be unleashed or it can be harnessed. You know, drop an atomic bomb and just watch its raw power is unleashed, or harness the power of the atom and it'll produce energy to make enough electricity for the entire states. You see, we want to make sure that we want to harness the power of the Holy Spirit to give us victorious lives, to live in step with the Spirit. The parakletos, the Greek says, is living in step with the Holy Spirit. When you ask yourself, should I go this way or should I go this way? Holy Spirit, what way should I go? I want to stay in step with you. And it leads me in a great transition to us as a church. We as a church want to say, we want to be in step with you, O Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about a couple things during our celebration of ministry directly following. And we're going to be in prayer. And we asked you the whole month of April to be in prayer about this building project and saying, God, we want to be in the parakletos, in step with the Holy Spirit. Do you want us to do this? How do you want us to do that? Should we minister here? Should we minister there? And that should be our prayer. And so as we think about being in step with the Holy Spirit, I want to invite the band to come up, and we want to ask God's Spirit to come down afresh and anew. Maybe you right now need this infilling for you personally. Maybe in your life right now, there's just this struggle, this wrestling with sin that you're just like, I need the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're dealing with that never experienced that second work of grace, that say, yeah, I'm saved, Jesus' blood has covered me, but I just don't feel there's anything, there's no power, there's nothing there. Maybe you just need the infilling Holy Spirit in your life, the power that comes with it. And so I'm going to ask you to pray this morning. I ask you to pray, first of all, for yourself. And just say, Lord, we want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. I want your power to come and rest upon me. So take this time and just pray. Just invite the Spirit into your life, into your heart. If you're not sure what to pray, just say, Holy Spirit, I want more of you. Holy Spirit, I want more of you. Fill me with your power. Be my counsel. Convict me in areas that I need conviction. Holy Spirit, I need more of you. Let's pray for our church this morning. Pray for our church that Holy Spirit would just be directing us, leading us, showing us. Pray for our leadership here at the church that Holy Spirit would just empower. Holy Spirit, just come into this place. Let's pray for our community. Let's just pray for our community that God would just do amazing, amazing things. We want to pray for our other churches in our area, that the Holy Spirit would just fall fresh upon them. We pray for our camp ministries, that the Holy Spirit would fall afresh upon Camp Living Water and Bow and Center Lake Bible Camp and our camp up in Manton. And Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would fall and move in a mighty way this summer. Lord, we thank you for this reminder of what this holy day represents, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Fill us, O God.